getting taller because his head was coming out the top of his hair. Some of you can identify with that. I think that God knows mathematics, and he does subtraction as well as multiplication. So, well, it's a joy to be here today. It's a little different. Don't get too excited. It's not over when I get through. They just put me in another slot today. So I want to share some thoughts with you. But we're not celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating Jesus. And we are here to magnify the Lord. Some traditions are good, and we can change things a little bit on Sunday morning and still be walking in the Spirit. Do you believe that? Because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. We have a lot of things that we say about the second coming. Do you believe in that? He's coming. He is. The whole Romanian Revolution was the song was "Yel Vine Ya." He is coming again. He is coming. He is coming. He's coming soon. And we recognize that it's been a message of the church. It's one of the things that we realize. But I want to talk about the narratives that talk about the first coming. We have the second coming. Well, this is the first coming. Now, we know, as it's been said, that he was in the eternal past. He was there. There was never a time that Jesus was not there. But he chose, and the Father chose, to send him to this earth. Matthew tells us of 14 generations from David to Christ. And that's how that Jesus could be called Son of David. He tells of the birth of Jesus Christ. He includes the angel coming to Joseph. He calls Mary Joseph's wife, and he lists Joseph as Mary's husband. It was an espousal contract. They had not lived together, but they were married according to the custom that they would have had to have had a separation, divorce type thing if they had broke that contract, because Joseph was called her husband. Matthew tells about the angel telling Joseph to name the child Jesus. It's always good when the father can name the child. And when our little boy here was born, well, it was just automatic in those days that if the first one was a boy, it became a junior. Well, we never called him Junior, but he became a Jody. And but he and I have the same name. Kind of hard on the ticket counter when we travel together, you know, in on airline, but we do have the same name, Joseph. So this guy was good. I haven't seen a Joseph in the Bible yet that wasn't a good person, you know. His name is called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He tells the wise men coming to Herod and then going to the house, not the manger, but to the house, and finding Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and presenting gifts. And then Luke comes along, and he adds details about Zechariah, husband of Elizabeth's visit by the angel Gabriel. He tells us the name of the angel. Now, my grandmother said that there's no man good enough to be an angel. But the Bible says his name was Gabriel. And so these girls that are named Gabriella, well, that's kind of close, you know. But his name was Gabriel. And he announced the coming of John the Baptist to Elizabeth. Then he appeared to Mary. Luke 1:34 says, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" He tells about Mary's visit to Elizabeth, her cousin, and whose baby leaps in her womb as she gets close to Jesus. As that baby, John, unborn yet, gets close to Jesus, well, he just starts praising the Lord, just exalting, dancing around, jumping around inside of her. And Luke tells about Mary's response and her song of praise. And he gives the details then of the birth of Jesus, including the angel's announcement, the shepherd's visit, and then ends up with the presentation of Jesus to Simeon in the temple. And we talk about that basically every time we dedicate babies or bring a presentation of a child in front of the audience. Matthew 1:22-25 is something I want to talk about. Where was Christ born? Where was he to be born? So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Just think about that. Spoken by the Lord through the prophet 600 years before it was spoken about by the prophet. He said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And they called his name Jesus. Isn't it wonderful when people obey? He didn't say, "No, let's call him something else. You know, let's call him Jody." No, he didn't say that. He said his name is Jesus. And so they called his name Jesus. Matthew 2, 1 through 12, or 1 through 6, all I'll read, I believe, right now. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Then he gathered all of his chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him," what'd they do? They went to their scriptures. They went to the prophets. And he said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." What I'm trying to get across to you this morning is that this sovereign God of ours, 600 years before, put together this prophetic word, and it was fulfilled to the T. "But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." I ask you this morning, do you know the Good Shepherd? Isn't he good? Doesn't he take care of us? Whether it's in sickness, whether it's in storms, whatever it may be, whether it's your birthday party, he said he is there and he is shepherding his people. So then we look and see, now where did they go to find this information? Well, it was 742 to 687 B.C., Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," now this is the prophetic word, "though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." You know, we look at that and we say, yeah, that's the Christmas story. But the first readers, the first hearers, did not have what we have today. They had to take that as hope that there was coming a time. Now, they might have thought it was the next day. Have you ever been looking for something you thought it was the next day? The little ones look forward to their next birthday. The older ones, you know, but here they are. They're looking ahead and saying, this is something that's going to happen. So it was not that day or the next day or the next year or the next decade. It was over 600 years later that prophecy came true. Verse 7 says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men and determined for them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. When you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them." Wasn't a falling star, but it was a moving star. It went before them. "They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him, opened their treasures, presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then when being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Then Isaiah, a prophet, speaks of this same thing about the same time, just a little bit different there. And he says in Isaiah 7, 13 through 17, he says, "Then he said, 'Hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to worry men, but will you worry my God also?'" Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." We got some signs around us now, folks. We sure do. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he will eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah." So this is the prophet Isaiah, and he speaks to us in verse chapter 9. He says again, chapter 6, 9, verse 6 and 7, 600 years before, here's what he said. "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The prophet Isaiah knew Jesus. He knew him. He saw him. God revealed to him what was going to happen. And then the apostle Paul in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." When you look at that promise, in the fullness of time, there was a reason why that God the Father did not send baby Jesus to a virgin before he did. Because he was putting things together. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, God is on time. We may be late, but God is on time. And that he is in control of all things. And he was arranging events, and he's doing it now. I do believe, just my unorthodox statement that would say that, that the changes in our weather, I think, are God's doings. And that the fact that here in December on the East Coast, well, they're having a heat wave. Why is that? It's never happened before. We're going to see things that have never happened before. But God is arranging events. He is. And here's what had happened that brought up the events that led up to the coming of Christ. It was the right time for him to be born. The world had lost faith in their former gods because they had failed to deliver them. Alexander the Great had conquered, and he was no more. Julius Caesar, the Roman Empire, they had lost faith in the former gods that they trusted in. So they were open. And folks, I want to tell you something. Even the Muslim people are open. The missionaries tell me that there's a great hunger among the Muslim people for truth and for this message that we have. And because it has not worked for them. Also, there was a universal language that was needed in order for this gospel to spread. And Greek had become like English is to the world now. I don't know for how long. Pretty soon it's going to be Spanish, I'm sure. But at that time, the common language was Greek, the Koinonia Greek. The Romans had taken over, and they had developed a road system that it was easy to travel the world. The Roman road. You heard of that? And so there is still that ability to go on highways now, but in the same area that the Romans had built that. Also, the Romans had a demand for order. And God put all of this together. He worked with other people to bring about the events of the coming of Christ. And he came. His first coming was there. And he's been coming ever since. Has he come to you? has he come to you? You remember the first coming in your life when Jesus knocked on the door of your heart and said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and follow me, I will come in. I will sup with him, he with me," fellowship, have a relationship with him. Here's what Jesus did. He was walking down the road. Jody, I think the children still sing this about Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus or whatever you want to call it. When I was a little boy, it was Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. And when the Savior came by, he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm going to your house for tea." Now, Leslie would like that. I've been drinking some hot tea lately, Leslie. To your house for tea. Well, when they say tea, they don't mean tea. They mean you to come and eat. Would you come to my house for tea? Well, you fix some tea? You eat before you go? No, they serve a meal. Well, anyway, Zacchaeus was there. Zacchaeus, Luke 19:10, here's what it says. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So where was he born? He, just as the prophet had said, why was he born? Right there, to seek and to save that which is lost. I ask you today, has Jesus been born in your heart today? Has Jesus been born in your heart today? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, God, for this time, Lord, a season of the year, Lord, that we can celebrate you every day, just like we can give thanksgiving every day. But, Lord, as we pause and as the world goes crazy in other ways, the shopping malls are crammed, the streets are full of traffic, and yet here's a group of people that have come on a rainy day to celebrate you. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us every day of this as we end this year and as we begin a new year, Lord, with a vision to be who we need to be light in a dark place and serve a great purpose, Lord. God, we ask you to give us daily bread to our lives, Lord, that we would not be falling back, we would not be falling down, but we would be going forward and loving you more and living for you in a life of holiness to the Lord and praising you, not just worshiping in song, but worshiping you with our lives every day. Bless this congregation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, we have some excited children on our hands this morning. And so while we take just a few minutes to get the stage ready for our wonderful team that has come together to do a little Christmas program for you this morning. And so we're going to take just a few minutes. So I just want to say just a couple words real quick while our team gets ready here and the kids get all together and costumes together and ready to go. So anyway, but I am excited this year because I've been doing Christmas programs here at this church for probably a good 20 years. And so if you've ever been in a Christmas program here at this church, if you can please stand. If you've ever been in one of our Christmas programs here at this church, please stand. Woo! So we've been doing this for quite a while. My children were very young when we started to do this. We did a trip in a hot air balloon, and we've done all different things. I remember some of our grown children who are now grown and have careers and in college, different things going on in their lives, and they were in the Christmas program. I remember when Anna Fenton was baby Jesus. That goes way back. And now we have a new baby Jesus. We're glad to have Trey and Susanna here, and their little guy Blade is the baby Jesus this year. And Trey and Susanna, I want to recognize them because they have stepped in this year to direct the children's Christmas program. And I'm very excited about their and very thankful for their help. I say Trey and Susanna because Susanna has organized all this, but Trey is her husband, and I know as a director of a Christmas program that sometimes our husbands, they take the brunt of it all. Because when things aren't going quite just right, we're up here, you know, yelling at them back in the sound booth. And so, our husbands have to listen to us say, do this, do that, do this, do that. So thank you, Trey and Susanna. Let's give them a round of applause. And baby Jesus and their whole family. Gage, you're going to see Gage up here performing this today, doing his thing. So we're excited. So it looks like we just about are ready. How about the children? Are they ready back there? We're ready. Okay, so are you ready? Okay, well, we are glad to announce the case of the reluctant innkeeper this morning. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so sit back and enjoy.
Judge Jody Justice will now be presiding in Bethlehem Court. are you?
I'm here to prosecute this case. Here's my business card.
Sam the Shepherd, attorney at law and part-time shepherd. Okay, whatever. Let's get this over with. I see the jury is in place.
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm passing out. I am passing out a scroll for Sam to read so we can get this case officially started.
The people versus the reluctant innkeeper. The people bring their first witness to the stand. Hee-haw, a donkey. State your name and occupation.
I am Hee-haw, a donkey. I'm a donkey and part-time tour guide.
Proceed.
Well, it happened this way. Mary and Joseph were traveling to Bethlehem since Caesar Augustus had ordered a tax and everyone had to be registered for the census. And then I was carrying Mary and didn't think we would ever find a place to stay because all the rooms were filled. At last, we came to a small inn in Bethlehem.
And then?
I could still hear those two words ringing in my ears, innkeeper said.
What words?
No vacancy.
Among the dusty road, I will bring this to you as I carry you. And at last we came upon a place to lay our heads. The keeper in the inn was
what?
Room
in the inn tonight. There's not a single room. Besides,
your late out
checkout time. Tomorrow is at noon.
So hit the road.
Don't you come back, Jack?
We have no vacancy.
Your Honor, I object. That's not the whole story.
Order, order in the court. I love when I get to do that. You will have your turn. But for now, I am dying. Dying to hear the rest of this story.
The next witness, Your Honor, is Mallory Mutton. State your name and occupation.
I'm Mallory Mutton, full-time sheep and part-time rug cleaner.
Rug cleaner?
Yep, I completely know how to keep wool spotless.
So where were you the night of December 24th?
Well, I was with my friends being watched over some shepherds, and all of a sudden the sky was filled with a bright light. We weren't sure what it was at first.
In the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane. No, it's angels singing joyous strains. Cause we have heard on high, singing, singing o'er the plains. There the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Glorious, brilliant shall we sing. Glorious, brilliant shall we sing.
Wonderful story. So, let's recap. Mary and Joseph riding into Bethlehem on a donkey, no room in the inn, shepherds in the field, the angels telling the amazing birth of the Messiah. Where was he born?
That, Your Honor, is the most important part of this case. I call the next person, the reluctant innkeeper.
I'm Benjamin Holt.
Say your name and occupation.
I'm Benjamin Holliday, keeper and used camel salesman.
Seems like everyone in this town has a part-time job.
Gotta work hard to pay them taxes.
Proceed.
Your Honor, members of the jury. Your Honor, jury, please hear my side of the story. Yes, Bethlehem was very busy that night, and I really wish I could have found room in my inn for the young couple.
We don't need excuses, just the facts. Did you know Mary was going to have a baby?
Joseph told me, but I didn't believe him at first, until I saw her. She was sitting on the back of a donkey and looked very tired.
And then?
Well, I couldn't throw someone else out of the room for the night, so I let them stay in my stable. It was very warm, and I just laid down some new hay.
But you were reluctant to let them stay in your inn. And that, sir, is a violation of Bethlehem Code number 982.
That's true. I was reluctant. But I did, however, find them a place to stay for the night. And I learned that God can turn a stable into a cathedral. A cathedral.
Are you up against the wall and feeling mighty small? There's no room in the inn and you need someone to call. Don't call information, cause God has got a plan. You don't have to wait, just follow the
plan. Change things around.
God sends His Son the Holy.
Change things around.
Jesus is around. He's gone right about.
God I can
change things around, change things around. Jesus, all we want to change things around.
Jesus,
change things around.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Our God can change things around.
What do I say? That's terrible. Terrible that that song couldn't last longer. I really love the meaning.
Yes, Your Honor, the stable and bit for Mary and Joseph might not have seemed like much, but God used to bring his son into the world in the humblest of ways. God can make miracles out of simple things. He can turn bad into good.
I think I'm getting it. So when God sent his son into a dark world, it really changed things around.
Yes, Your Honor, because what happened that night in Bethlehem, the world will never be the same.
It's not because of Bethlehem we sing this song of joy. It's not because the Lamb who was risen is every day.
Do you say, is he guilty or not guilty of violating the code number 982?
Not guilty!
Yes! Thank you, jury. Wait, what? Thank you, jury. Thank you, honor, jury. Now I'm going to start all chain events. Or my name's not Benjamin Holiday.
I'm having a stroke! Esther, a genius! I think you should name your next Inn, Holiday Inn.
I'd rather name it after my wife.
What's your wife's name?
Ramada.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart be found in
God.
I can change things around, I can change things around. Mountains are the only one to change things around. Trees and the storm, before and above, and the rain and the mist down. Our God can change things around. Our God can change things around. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Our God can change things around.
Hello.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes our very interesting performance. I hope you all enjoyed it. Let's give them one more hand. They worked really hard.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, how many of you believe that God can change things around? Amen? And I know he's changed things not only in my life, but in your life as well. And at this time, we have a tradition here at Church of Living Hope that after the Christmas program, we as a church like to pass out gifts. And I'm going to ask another group of young people, the prime timers, if they would join me here at the front and be our helpers. With all the prime timers, that's if you go to the prime time meetings, this is for you. Okay. I want you to see this good-looking group of young people. Give them a hand, yes. Well, that's okay, but we want to pass out some gifts. But as I want to pass out some gifts. But Pastor Joe, you're about to see a miracle because I have the grand prize right here. How many of you like turtles? Yeah. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that in one of these sacks, I put an offering envelope. And you will see people digging for offering envelopes. So, if you are 5 years old and younger, and you can bring your parent, we're going to ask you to come up here and receive your gift. And we have a bag over here. Just take that one open and begin to pass them out as they come. We have a bag over here. That's not the one. Mine is specially folded. Oh, I've already marked the offering envelope. I know what it looks like. Yeah. Sorry, there's a special offering envelope that has been marked by me. So if you're 5 years old and younger, you may come up here. Parents are allowed to accompany their children. And you can go to them. Y'all can go to them if you want. Go to them, yes. 5 years old and younger. Now, normally we put some sort of fruit in the bag. But I had a thought, how about a fruit roll-up? There's some jelly beans. How about 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds? Raise your hand. Eleven, 12, 13, 14, or 15. Sixteen, 17, 18, 19, or 20. Twenty-one, 22, 23, 24, 25. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. We're getting close. 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. Or 50 and above. 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. 50 to 55. 50 to 60. Ooh, yay. Yeah. 50. If you're in your 50s, raise your hand and don't have a sack. If you're in your 60s, raise your hand. If you're in your 70s, woohoo! Raise your elbow. How about 80s? In other words, everybody should have a sack. If you do not have a sack, raise your hand. All right. Well, did I have a question? Any sack left over will be saved for Saturday. You get one. Everybody should have one. Now, we do have a winner. We do have a winner. And I'm going to ask her to come up. She won the grand prize. So, what were you in the drama? Were you a...
sheep in a program.
She was a sheep. Well, does sheep like turtles? I know your family does. Awesome. Everyone should receive one. And these leftover will be saved for Saturday. If you want to come for a festive occasion, we invite you to come Saturday. It's a lot of fun. The parents come in a little reluctant, not knowing what to expect. But immediately, they feel at home. And they're received, and they're made to feel welcome when they leave their family. And we pray for them in the audience, parking lot as they leave. It's a great time. So,
thank you, Pastor Jody.
Thank you all for helping me sack those. Okay. I know we are scheduled to do a picture.
Thank you, Pastor Jody.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jody.
Okay. This is how we're going to do the picture. We're going to try to be as organized as possible. I need a row of chairs, so some of the Calvary men, bring out some of those chairs now, please. Not orange or purple chairs, but...